Maryland is back in the NCAA tournament for the fifth time in 6 years, as the 10th-seeded Terps are set to take on a UConn team coached by third-year head coach Dan Hurley. All eyes will be on Darryl Morsell, as he's tasked with stopping James Bouknight, but how did the Terps stack up against their opponent? Who else will Maryland have to remain conscious of? Stay tuned as we delve further into the matchup. I'm joined now by David Borges, UConn's men's basketball beat writer for Hearst Connecticut Media. Dave, appreciate you taking some time with me today to delve into Saturday's game as the Terps and Huskies are set for a 7:10 p.m. tip-off. It seems like the fans in this game see this as a potential toss-up. I see a 50-50 split in Sleeper's NCAA tournament challenge, but on the court, everyone seems to be pointing to the matchup between James Bouknight and Darryl Morsell. But I noticed, you know, with Bouknight, the third leading scorer in the Big East, he missed 8 games midway through the season. So I guess with him back now and UConn kind of finding their groove down the stretch, what makes Bouknight that dynamic scorer for UConn?
Well, he's just a terrific athlete, kind of glides across the court, gets to the hole in a variety of different ways, really good in transition. Like I said, a tremendous dunker and slasher to the hoop, but also a good shooter. He's a pretty good 3-point shooter. I'm not sure the numbers back up how he's got a really nice looking smooth shot. Good perimeter game, good mid-range jumper. I mean, offensively, there's not a whole lot he doesn't have other than the fact that maybe he's not quite as strong as he needs to be, certainly for the NBA, which I assume he'll be in next year. He can be kind of bullied around a little bit. He's been a little injury prone. But really, when you talk about James Bouknight offensively, there really aren't too many weaknesses.
And you mentioned, just the fact that he's just really that dynamic offensive player for them. And really, it seems like the offense kind of goes through him. And obviously, you mentioned he missed some time and whatnot. And I noticed that he did miss some time in that second half win over DePaul with cramping. And now, obviously, cramping, that's something that, you can address over time, especially with hydration. You monitor that closely. And especially with 6 days in between games, I'd expect you kind of be dialed into that. But I guess, has that been something that's been a bigger focus in terms of him making sure that he's doing what he needs to do, make sure he's ready for the NCAA tournament?
Yeah. No, they fully recognize that he needs to take a little bit of personal accountability to make sure he's hydrated before the game, during the game. It's something he's got to do a better job of. The staff is very well aware of that. And, I think, because they like Dan Hurley said, they can't afford, certainly they were up by like 30 against DePaul when he went out early in the second half in that game. But in an NCAA tournament game against a really good team like Maryland, they can't afford to lose James Bouknight for long stretches of time because he's cramping up, because he hasn't been hydrating the right way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it seems like, even outside of him, it seems like UConn still has some guys that they kind of point to and lean on to get some to get some scoring. I noticed Tyler Pauley entered the matchup, top 5 in the Big East at 3-point field goal percentage. Our RJ Cole, I know that he was one that's in concussion protocol, but even he shoots over 38% from deep. But I guess with UConn kind of having that size inside and having, even though they're a little bit undersized, but being those rim protectors, I guess how susceptible is UConn to extended scoring droughts? Just because Maryland, they've kind of really taken on that defensive identity and kind of locked in. So I'd imagine they'd be, very, very dialed into to UConn and what they can do offensively.
Yeah. The Bouknight Darryl Morsell matchup is, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's really going to be interesting. If you take Bouknight out of the game a little bit, UConn did okay without him during the season. They went 4-4. They had some stretches where they played pretty well, but they're so much of a different team without him. So if you can take him out, kind of take him out of his rhythm and make him a little less effective, then UConn, that happened with the game that Bouknight got hurt back on January 5th at Marquette, where he got an elbow injury, which eventually kept him out for 6 weeks. He wasn't playing that well that game, and then he left the game, came back, and even though he was injured, didn't play well the rest of the game. But the aforementioned Tyler Polley came in and hit, I think, 5 3-pointers off the bench, scored 24 points, was the Big East player of the week. So things like that can happen. Tyler Polley could get hot. RJ Cole has been a good offensive player, particularly since Booknight's come back. Adama Sanogo is a 6'9" freshman who's terrific. It's a really classic back-to-basket, low-post player. He can pick it up. Tyrese Martin's a guy who averages in double figures this year. He's kind of struggled over the last couple of weeks, hasn't scored a whole lot, but they certainly could use him to pick it up. So they have other weapons. But to me, if you kind of take Booknight out of the game or out of his rhythm, then that's you're right. There could be some scoring issues for UConn.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And it seems like, you know, Maryland to be able to really remain competitive, and if they want to pull this off, you know, they would have to be dialed in offensively. And it seems like UConn, you know, Maryland needs to be dialed in defensively. But it seems like Maryland has some, you know, they've kind of been able to retool their offense, and kind of midway through when they were 4-9 in conference play, kind of looked themselves in the mirror and readjusted their offensive identity, started to go through a little bit more, you know, Aaron Wiggins, Eric Ayala, you know, go through the guard play a little bit more. But I'm curious, you know, UConn, you know, through Big East play, they've done well with their holding opponents' field goal percentage. I believe they sit second in the Big East right now. But I guess with UConn kind of having that size, a little bit undersized down low, like I said, but you know, what is UConn's defense kind of look like this year? And have they been able to really stop teams on a consistent basis?
Yeah, it's a team defense. It's, you know, I hate to use these cliches, but it's just a tough mentality. They really buy into Dan Hurley's idea of toughness, and defense and rebounding are the keys to winning. But their best defensive player is Isaiah Whaley, a 6'9" senior forward who he's athletic. He's a really just a disruptive, he's a shot blocker, not in the sense of kind of like, you know, your typical 6'11", 7-foot guy sitting back there swatting shots, but he's bigger than everybody else. He really is just an athletic guy who can guard people anywhere on the court. He can guard guys on the perimeter. He's great at hedging ball screens. And I don't use that as a backhand compliment. I mean, he's like literally one of it's like almost, it's incredible how well he's able to defend that. He's their best defensive player. He's kind of the linchpin, but you know, RJ Cole's been a good defensive point guard. Other guys are just, Adama Sanogo is a shot blocker. A kid named Josh Carlton off the bench, senior, can block some shots. You know, Booknight's one weakness is defense, but even he's improved a little bit about that on that over the years. So overall, it's just a kind of a, Whaley's the linchpin, but it's kind of an overall team defensive philosophy.
Yep, no, and that makes sense. And you kind of mentioned, you know, at the beginning of that answer, you know, the team's kind of really bought into what Dan Hurley's been teaching his team, and kind of going into year three to see Dan Hurley, you know, I know rebuild and restoring, you know, takes time, but to kind of see him find his groove and see what his teachings and what he's envisioned for the program kind of begin to come to fruition now. And with you kind of now back in the NCAA tournament, I'm kind of curious, you know, from your perspective and maybe from, you know, the fans' perspective and whatnot, you know, what's kind of been the vibe about what Dan Hurley's been able to do through his first 3 years at the program?
Well, I think he's really just been kind of on schedule. Like, and he's sort of has this blueprint of year one, year two, year three, year four, et cetera. And it's kind of gone sort of the way he's planned so far. And he'll be the first to tell you that he's pretty proud of it. But I think he felt that by year three, they would be contending for a conference title, and it happens to be a Big East title, which I think all the fans are happy that they're back in the Big East. And a team that's, you know, an NCAA tournament team. And here they are, and played really well towards the end of the season, got off the bubble, played their way to a 7 seed. Some people think they should have had a better seed, but I think it's about right. And certainly a team that can make a run. So, yeah, I think there's excitement in New Connecticut, no question about it. And they are on the path that Dan Hurley kind of foresaw, and it's going pretty well for them.
Yeah, I would say that, and especially in just a weird year with you know, very limited offseason, inconsistent practice time. You know, it's definitely you know, always encouraging, especially for fans to see you know, even with the hiccups and the ups and downs and whatnot, for Hurley to be able to like I said, be able to formalize and speak his plan for the program into fruition. So, you know, I guess Dave, I'm kind of curious, you know, with fans kind of seeing this matchup, depending where you look, it's kind of a toss up right now, but for you, you know, we mentioned, you know, Morcell against Booknight, but do you have a prediction for the game kind of going into Saturday?
Well, yeah, you know, I hate to sound like a homer, and obviously I'm a lot more familiar with UConn than I am Maryland. I just remember, you know, over the season, kind of looking at Maryland from afar and sort of, like you said, they 4-9 in the Big Ten at one point and feeling like they were a little bit disappointing and sort of a little too up and down and kind of, and then obviously they got hot, played their way back into the tournament. So I just feel like they're, just, without even going into the X's and O's and offensive and defense, I feel like they're just a team that fluctuates so much. I have a hard time having a lot of faith in them. But on the flip side, UConn played so well down the stretch and looked like they were going to win the Big East tournament title, but Creighton put a monkey wrench in that plan. I just feel like UConn is sort of on a mission. They've bought into Dan Hurley. I do like UConn in this game. I certainly wouldn't be shocked if Maryland won, but I do like UConn advancing. And then, of course, then, you know, the next round will be most likely Alabama, and that will not be a treat for either team.
No, it won't. It won't. I think Saturday's contest, I think, you know, the more I really delved into it, I really thought it was going to be a very tough matchup. I think both sides kind of do match up very well. I'd say the biggest thing from Maryland's perspective is even when they, before and after they retooled that offense and they kind of, you know, found their groove, they're still susceptible to the scoring droughts and they still go those 3-4 minutes without being able to find the bottom of the net. And there were a couple games. I mean, the Penn State game, for example, that was one that Maryland fans would definitely bring up as one that just completely slipped away. They just went ice cold down the stretch and the bad offense kind of translated to defense. So I definitely see this being a tight game. I don't know if I really see the over hitting, to be honest. I think this could be a little bit more defensive. I think Maryland's really going to buy in and 110% lock into that defensive identity. But I do think this is going to be a tough game. I probably sound like a homer, but I have Maryland with a slight edge. But I think it's going to be very close. But regardless of who wins, I think either team needs to beat Alabama because Alabama can't be getting all the wins in both sports. So I think so someone needs to humble them.
There you go. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So once again, I'm Dave, joined by David Borges from UConn men's basketball beat writer for the Hearst, Connecticut media. Maryland and UConn are set to face off on Saturday at 7:10 p.m. on CBS. Dave, I appreciate you taking some time with me today.
Okay, Ahmed, my pleasure. Thank you.
And that's it for a special edition of Inside the Black and Gold Radio. You can find Inside the Black and Gold on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and SoundCloud. I'm Ahmed Gafir, and I am out.